Good morning, everyone. Pray the Lord will bless you today. And as we look at His Word together, that God will touch our hearts and speak to our various needs. But when I began my theological studies at Bob Jones University back in 1963, I found that several teachers required us to memorize Bible verses. And the first course where I remembered memorizing Bible verses was New Testament Survey. And we memorized not only New Testament verses, but also Old Testament verses that related to the New Testament. For instance, we memorized Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin. And Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which tells us that He would be born in Bethlehem. We also memorized New Testament verses. And one of those was James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And this is a verse that we all would do well to memorize. So maybe by the time we're done, you have a pretty good idea of that verse. Now, we've all heard the old saying that the two certainties in life are death and taxes. That may be true, but I'd like to suggest two more certainties: trials and temptations. We've considered trials and testings in James chapter 1 from the beginning to verse 11. Now, that, of course, is only the case if you were there for the previous messages. But we now come to verse 12, which sums up the matter of enduring trial. It also tells us of the reward for enduring trials. So let's first of all look at trials endured. The verse begins by saying, "Blessed is the man." Now the word "blessed" in the Greek is makarios. And I did not realize this. It just recently started to dawn upon me that that is probably the first Greek word that I ever learned. Maybe amen I learned before that. But certainly makarios was one of the first Greek words that I learned. The reason is that when I was growing up, Cyprus was often in the news. This is the late 1940s, after the Second World War, and then coming into the 1950s. But Makarios became a well-known name because the political leader in Cyprus back in those days was also a church leader. He was an archbishop, and it was Archbishop Makarios. So that's how I have never forgotten that name, probably the first Greek word that I learned. And maybe you can remember that as well. Makarios. It can be translated as blessed. Sometimes it's also translated as happy or oh, the happiness of. It refers to the happiness or the joy of the person who knows that he is born again. And we saw this, if you were there for the previous messages, in verse 2 in James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." So when you are tempted, count it joy, rejoice. And it is also makarios, the same word that is used by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Beatitudes. The verses in Matthew 5, 1 to 12, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. And it goes on from there. And especially in Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12, because there the thought is also of rejoicing under trial. Let me read. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake, said Jesus. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So this word Makarios is used in the Beatitudes. It's also used by the Septuagint. Now the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there also blessed, the Hebrews asherei, but the Greek words there in the Septuagint, makarios. So we see this word blessed, happy, oh the happiness of, a number of times in the Bible. Remember, makarios. Now it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now, if we are to win a crown, we must do more than just pass through a trial. We must endure it. That is, we must bear it. We must tolerate it. In other words, we must accept this trial as coming from the Lord. And then we must rejoice in it. In the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, as some people pronounce it, one of the minor prophets. So this is one of those difficult to find verses in the Bible. But as we look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, in verse 17, it is all bad news. And I'll read it to you in a moment. But then, notice the confident rejoicing of the writer in verse 18. So, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now stop here a moment. If the fig tree does not blossom, then there will be no fruit, no figs. Figs are good eating. Not sure if you've eaten them or not, but it's good eating. So here's a problem. The fig tree will not blossom. We have no figs to eat. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. If there's no fruit in the vines, there are no grapes. No grapes to eat. No grapes to make grape juice. So again, a problem. The labor of the olive shall fail. Well, the labor of the olive fails. That means there are no olives. No olives to eat. And no olive oil to help with the cooking. So, and the fields shall yield no meat. Now, meat does not refer to what we normally call meat, but it refers to food. So this, the growing of grains, barley. So if there's no grain, if there's no barley, there is no bread. So again, this is bad news. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Well, if the flock is cut off from the fold, no sheep. That means no wool for clothing. And also no mutton or lamb to eat. So again, we got a problem there. And then the last thing he mentions, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, no cattle, no beef. What are you going to eat? No meat, no beef. Sorry. But look now at Habakkuk's reply. Yet, he says, although with all these bad things, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So there is joy. So we must accept these bad things that we might call bad, but really they're used by God for our spiritual growth and our spiritual development. So, listen carefully. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We must accept the trials and temptation as coming from the Lord, and we must rejoice in it. No wonder, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So after looking at the first part, blessed is the man, let us look at the crowns that are awarded. He shall receive the crown of life. Not only kings are crowned, but also those who endure suffering or persecution. Now, I'm not sure if you have heard of Robert Murray McShane. He was born in Scotland in 1813. He died very young. He was 29 when he died in 1843. But this is what Wikipedia says of him, and I quote, "Perhaps no minister in the Church of Scotland is better remembered for the saintliness of his character, the anxious devotion which influenced the whole of his short ministry, and the success which everywhere accompanied his efforts as a preacher of the gospel. He was a diligent Bible student and a good classical scholar. He learned to read Greek when he was but a boy, about 5 years old. He already started learning Greek. He also could carry on a conversation in Hebrew. He had fine poetical, artistic, and musical gifts. He trained his congregation in psalmody, and his hymns are the property of all the churches." So he wrote a number of hymns as well. McShane says that the way to a crown is by the cross. Let me quote what Robert Murray McShane has written. "Everyone that gets to the throne must put their foot upon the thorn. The way to the crown is by the cross. We must taste the fall if we are to taste the glory. And justified by faith, God brought Israel through the Red Sea. He led them into the wilderness. So when God saves a soul, he tries it. He never gives faith without trying it. The way to Zion is through the Valley of Baca. And the Valley of Baca is the Valley of Weeping." Continuing with what McShane said, "You must go through the wilderness of Jordan if you are to come to the land of promise. Some believers are much surprised when they are called to suffer. They thought they would do some great thing for God, but all that God permits them to do is to suffer." That's the end of the quote by Robert Murray McShane. So, we see the crown, but the way to a crown is by the cross. Now, in the Bible, 5 crowns are mentioned for the believer. The first crown that I want to mention is an incorruptible crown. Now, I'm sure that you've heard of the Olympic Games, especially with 2032 being in Brisbane. But while you have heard of the Olympic Games, you may not have heard of the Isthmian Games. Now, the Isthmian Games are named after the narrow isthmus between Athens and Corinth. Now, from Athens to Corinth is about 80 kilometers. So if you look at the map, you'll see, you know, the Greece, and then in the lower right-hand corner, the eastern part, southeastern corner there, you'll see Athens. And then there's just a narrow stretch of land that goes through to the peninsula on which you find Athens, find Corinth. It's been my privilege to be there and to travel that road from Athens to Corinth. Quite interesting to see these things. So the Isthmian Games were named after that narrow isthmus between Athens and Corinth. Now the winners of the Isthmian Games received a wreath of, believe it or not, celery. All right? So it's a little unusual. Now later on it was changed from celery to pine leaves. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 refers to this incorruptible crown. And every man that striveth for the mastereth is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we Christians, I added the word there, Christians, but we an incorruptible. So there's a corruptible crown, celery leaves, pine leaves, they don't last very long. But the believer's crown is incorruptible. It will last forever. Are you looking forward to receiving an incorruptible crown when you get to heaven? I certainly hope so. Now, the second crown that is mentioned is the crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul wrote chronologically. And chapter 4 is the last chapter. So we're coming right now to the very end of the Apostle Paul's writing. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall judge me, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. So this crown of righteousness is for those who love the Lord's second coming. Are you looking for it? To the Lord's return. Did you say with the Apostle John in Revelation 22, verse 20, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again. When you ask, I don't know. But looking at world events, it could be very soon. Are you ready for his coming? How to get ready, you may ask. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's how to get ready. Now, the third crown is the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. For ye are our glory and joy. So this crown is for soul winners. Have you ever led a soul to Christ? Have you ever tried? Don't think that this is for pastors only. We should all do our best to try to lead people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember meeting an elderly pastor in Los Angeles, California. And he would ask people, "Have you got your ticket?" "What ticket?" they would say. "Your ticket to heaven." And this would give him the opportunity to explain God's simple plan of salvation. He was looking forward to meeting hundreds, if not thousands, of people in heaven that he had led to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he was a pastor. He's in heaven now, rejoicing with his Savior. Rejoicing because people come to Christ through your ministry. I'll come back to that a little later. The fourth crown we want to mention is the crown of glory. This is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now, this is actually promised to faithful pastors. And since I'm a pastor, but you're not, I will not say anything else about this. But I will take note of it for myself. A crown of glory for those who faithfully serve the Lord. And then the last crown we want to mention of the five mentions in the Bible is the crown of life. So we've seen that one in James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." But not only is the crown of life mentioned in the book of James, it is also mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So the crown of life is especially promised to those who are tried and endure because of love to Christ. So, five crowns: incorruptible, righteousness, crown of rejoicing, glory, and the crown of life. Now, notice also, going back to James 1:12, that this crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. The Lord has promised. What the Lord has promised, he will do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, "For all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." In other words, the promise of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. In other words, they will come to pass. And in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Well, it's pretty obvious, you know. Has he said, shall he not do it? No, if he has said it, he will do it. And if he has spoken, he will make it good. So what the Lord has promised, he will do. Don't ever forget that. That's one of the things we must remember. And then James 1:12 concludes by "to them that love him." 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." If we love him enough to be willing to suffer trials for him, we shall receive a crown of life. Now, in addition to looking at the book of James, I also want to look at 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15, to get a more complete understanding of the teaching of God's Word. And so, foundations laid and built upon. So I mentioned earlier already that we must have a proper foundation in our life as Christians. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, we will have trials and temptations in the Christian life, but we must have a proper foundation to deal with these trials and temptations. Foundation is basic. To be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must believe on Him. Jesus Himself said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me share with you something that happened to me about 10 days ago. My wife and I were in Norwood on the parade. She had a doctor's appointment, and we wanted to do some shopping. So we were two different places, and I was by myself, and we had arranged to meet at one place for lunch. So as I was walking there, I got tired, not surprising. And I decided to sit down to get a little bit of a rest. And as I approached the bench, I noticed something was laying on top of that bench, a little booklet. And as I saw that, I said, "I know what that is. That's a Jack Chick tract." And it's this one, "The Choice." I took it with me. Now, some of you should be familiar, because on the track at the church entrance, there are other Chick tracts, like this one that I just picked up this morning. So, now, a Chick tract. Either somebody had left that gospel tract, hoping that someone would read it and be saved. Now, I read it, but I was already saved, you know. Or somebody had been given that tract and said, "Oh, just leave it there." I don't know. Maybe you left it. It's possible, because we do have Jack Chick tracts in the church. But you know, it's interesting. I'll probably never know how that tract got there, unless, like you say, one of you left it there and tell me afterwards. But if you are saved, do you give out tracts so that other people can be saved? They're at the entrance to the church. No excuse. Tracts are there. And they're there not just to fill up a tract, but for you to take and to distribute. So, all right. So, if you are not saved, by the way, you need a tract. You can read it. Ask me afterwards. I can give them to you. Incidentally, I looked at this tract on the back. I was hoping there might be a church name, but neither of these tracts have a church name or some telephone number. It does have some additional information on the back, but nobody to contact. So, if you want a tract afterwards, I'll be happy to give you these. But if you are not saved, pray a simple prayer. Admit that you're a sinner. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins to you. And I ask you, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me." Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you pray that simple prayer, the Lord will save you. You know, and don't think that just because you're here in church that you are saved. I used to be a Sunday school teacher, but I was not saved. It was not till several years later that I realized I needed to confess my sins to God and ask Him to save me. So some of that goes back to the 1950s. But it was in the early 1960s, 1962, that was pointed out to me, you know, you're a sinner. You need Jesus to save you. And I prayed that prayer. Lord, forgive my sins. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Save me. And the Lord did. So, that's why a wonderful promise. Him that cometh to me, said Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. When you pray, He will save you. Also, John 5:24, Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I'll be happy to talk with you personally after the service. If you are saved, do you give out tracts so that other people can be saved? Now, once a person is saved, he or she must live his or her life as a Christian. It's like a building. That's what 1 Corinthians does here. All right? We have a proper foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation. But now the structure goes up. And the Bible compared this structure with two groups of three building materials. All right? That's all found right here. You know, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So the first group is wood, is gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, when it says precious stones, it is not referring to diamonds or rubies or other precious stones like that, but rather it refers to marble, which is building material. All right. The second group is wood, hay, and stubble. So, these groups are then tested by fire. The gold and silver, they're purified by the fire. Marble, as I understand, does not burn in fire. It can withstand high temperatures without undergoing significant structural changes or decomposition. Decomposition. Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up and nothing much is left of them. Now, how can you know if the works you do are like gold, silver, and precious stones or like wood, hay, and stubble? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 gives us the answer. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's it. Do all to the glory of God. Now, before I conclude, there's one other thing I want to point out in relation to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. In verse 13 it says, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now that's important. The fire shall try every man's work. It does not say the fire shall try every man. The reason I mention this is because the Church of Rome teaches incorrectly that there is a place called purgatory. Now, purgatory is defined as, and I quote, a state after death in which, according to Roman Catholic belief, the souls of those who die in God's grace are purified of their sins by suffering in fire. Now, that's what they claim. But that's not what the Bible says. First of all, there is no such thing as purgatory. All right? So, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's it. The moment a believer dies, his or her soul goes immediately to heaven. What a blessed assurance that is. Are you looking forward to heaven? I am. You know, I'm getting to that age where it's drawing near. I'm looking forward to that. Forever with the Lord. Just think, forever with the Lord in heaven. What better future could you have? No more exams. No more glasses to wear. No more hearing aids to wear. I've had both hips replaced. I think there's more artificial about me than real. You know, and my hip replacement is giving me trouble. It's beginning to wear out. Tuesday I'll be going to see the doctor to find out the results of the test of my hip replacement when I have checked out with a CT scan. Well, I don't have to worry about these things anymore. Perfect body in heaven. And you will be the same if you believe in Him. You know, forever with the Lord in heaven. So, when a Christian endures trials, there is compensation both now and in the future. Now, while we are still on earth, we develop character, endurance. We develop patience. A lot of us, we don't like patience, do we? We don't like to wait. But in the future, there will be a crown of life, plus the other crowns that we have talked about. All right? Now, in the future, there will be a crown of life. God doesn't help us by removing the trials. He makes them work for our spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Satan wants to use these trials to tear us down. But God uses them to build us up. When we love the Lord, when we look forward to His second coming, when we distribute tracts and win souls, when we faithfully serve the Lord, He will reward us with incorruptible crowns. You know, so many crowns. Do you think we'll walk around in heaven with all these crowns, one on top of the other? The answer actually is found in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. But to put that verse in context, let us read Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. You're welcome to read together with me. All right. Revelation 4, beginning at verse 8 and ending at verse 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Did you notice that? We'll cast our crowns before the throne, for only the Lord is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let us love the Lord. Let us praise and thank Him daily. Let us serve Him faithfully and look forward to His coming again. Yes, indeed. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for his coming? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that assurance. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Lord, trials and temptations will come, but may our faith be built on the sure foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Father, may we indeed trust him. May we love thee. May our hearts be filled with gratitude as we praise thee daily, as we thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. Lord, help us to serve thee faithfully, even as we look forward to the Lord Jesus coming again. For we pray this in his holy and precious name. Amen.